Welcome aboard, elevator enthusiasts and curious minds alike. You're tuned in to the Going Up Podcast, the ultimate destination for all things elevators. I'm your host, Zara Shea Julay, and I am joined by the dynamic duo of elevator aficionados, Bobby Haskett and Josh Anderson. Get ready for a joyous journey into the vertical world, where we'll be lifting the lid on elevator stories, chatting with industry experts, and exploring the cutting-edge innovations that keep us all moving on up. This is the Going Up Podcast, your weekly pass to the heights of elevator excitement. Hey guys, and welcome to this episode of Going Up. We are excited to talk about a topic today that is a little bit more, because our industry is the elevator industry, so it's focused a little bit more on that, but it talks about this topic in general. And we're going to talk about training, okay? And we see what training looks like. We see the pros and cons. And everybody's gone through training, right? You started a new job, you left an old job, everybody's gone through training at some point. So we're going to talk today about some of the nuances that we see, the way that we've seen it go in the past, some things that we've seen work and not work, and we're just going to kind of dive into this topic in general. So Bobby, I know you're all about the training. I know you love the training, isn't that right?
I do. Yes, I do, actually.
Josh could care less for it, I think. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's not true at all. Yeah, no, he couldn't care less for it. So glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
So actually, this is all going to be a training exercise for Josh. This whole podcast is going to be that. So
do I have the attention span to pay attention?
Let me go ahead and answer that. The answer is no. But that's also stuff that we'll talk about, because attention span is a topic within training. So, in our industry specifically, there has been a huge influx of newer, younger folks specifically. We've seen a ton of college recruiting. And because of that college recruiting, you're getting very fresh faces, people who have, you know, maybe they studied sales in college, but maybe they didn't. Maybe it was a completely different thing, topic that they studied. And then you're getting people who've never been in the elevator industry. So this is all fresh, all new, and it is a lot to learn in general. So we're going to kind of talk about some of the methods, strategies, and stuff like that, and what we see. And hopefully give some great hot takes, hot tips for the people out there. So we're going to start out by talking about the overview of the training methodologies that have been, how it's evolved to what it is today. And let's just call it like it is, the topic of our podcast. Training ain't what it used to be. It just ain't. Bobby, I'm going to throw it over to you. That's right.
Yeah, thanks, Z. As you know, training is an important subject to me. And with me being able to be out in the field and seeing our customers weekly, there's a lot that I've really learned. I've had the opportunity to not only talk to the new reps coming straight out of college, like you spoke about, Z, but also some of the old timers, the guys that's got 35, 40 years in the business. And what I really like doing is asking what the difference is from the way it used to be to the way it is today. And believe it or not, training gets brought up a lot. And what I will tell you in is, like, years ago, it was nothing to have them stay 2 months in training, 3 months in training. And they really went over everything from A to Z, where in today's times, and to be quite honest about it, we even see it here at our facility, you know, at Fabicab, that you're almost forced to train quickly and as effectively as possible.
I thought the building was coming down on you. I apologize there. And to onboard faster.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, and what I notice is they'll run brand brand new reps through a 2-week program. And, you know, as far as in our end of the business, they don't even really talk about interiors very much. But with that being said, that's why that we like to take that approach of we want to train everybody, whether it is the old timer that didn't sell a lot of interiors in his tenure or the new reps that come out, you know, because fill that void. But it is quite different from when I hear what the old timers tell me when they came into the business to what it is today. It's a much quicker ramp up period.
Yeah. For sure. And Bob, for those, a reminder, Bobby is the director of sales here at Fabicab. Josh is the president of the company. And so they've both seen a lot of training scenarios throughout the years, you know, people being onboarded in the leadership team, people being onboarded in the sales team and having to adapt for, you know, both of those groups. It's very different. It's a very different process, and you can let's be real, you could really onboard somebody for, I mean, months and months and months if you wanted to really, but at some point there's that line of having to say, go be free. Yeah. You've got to make mistakes on your own as well. So, yeah, which kind of ties into our next point. So personalization and adaptability. So Bobby, you were talking about the, you know, a little bit of the old timers. No knock on age. There's no age discrimination here. We're just saying experienced, the wise people of the industry. That's what we'll call them. Because Bobby, you're in that group of old timers. So I'd be real careful with the word old timer.
Yeah. The funny
Josh
thing
is right there with you. I'm in the young college group. So
no, so far from it. College group. I don't think so.
But in speaking about that, we have very different levels of, you know, people that have been in the industry for a long time, or even people who are a little bit older. They've done sales for a long time, but they're just getting introduced to the elevator industry. I see that a lot, especially like in Texas, which is a territory that I cover. I see a lot of that, transition from HVAC or oil and gas over to the elevator company or vice versa. So we see a lot of that. And I know different territories see different, you know, kind of different industries in each area. But with that, personalizing that training and making sure that it's getting through to that specific person. So Bobby and Josh, I actually want to hear kind of from both of you, because Josh, you've had to adapt, you know, with each person that you've hired here at Fabicab, and you also cover Florida sales. And then Bobby, you've trained a whole heck of a lot of people. If we would really put the line down and start adding up how many elevator salespeople you have trained, Bobby, it would be a big list. For better or for worse, right? No, for better. It's all for better. But so just both of you, I kind of want you to kind of tag team and talk about that personalization and how that works well. And if there's any ways that you see it not working well.
Yeah. Well, if you don't mind, I'll kind of take the lead on this as far as what I see about our customers and who I call on. What I find very, very interesting is in the personalization of training that we give our customers, there's a couple things that I always look at. First and foremost, does the individual have prior sales experience? Although that is a very simple question to ask, not everybody knows how to interact with a customer without having a prior sales background. So what I notice a lot is someone coming from like that gas or oil industry that you're talking about, Zara, like in the Houston area or something. If you've already got a sales background, it's very, very easy to be able to guide them down the trail that you need them to walk. And they seem to be able to navigate that a lot better. Where if I have a brand new rep coming out of college that's never had a sales job in their life, I find myself being less technical in more generalization of what we need to do in setting up the customer, my customer, to allow them to set up their end user customer for the best communication practices and what's going to get the job done to make the end user happy and delighted.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so Josh, why don't you talk a little bit about, like, because you've had to train some people in the Florida market where you do sales, but also you have a leadership team underneath you, and you're kind of training them to train the people below them. So you got some layers there. So talk to us a little bit about that, and with that, not to tag on another question, but with that, how personalization for that person leads to more effective training, or doesn't. Talk about if it doesn't.
Okay, when you're talking about training a customer, I think that just the method that I use is trying to identify what the problem is I'm trying to solve with them. So, you know, establishing clearly what it is that our goal is, obviously for us, is to sell an elevator interior. So getting them to talk about what they know about interiors, what they've been taught about interiors. And a lot of times we find that they just haven't been taught anything a lot of times about interiors. So that's a good thing that we can kind of then personalize it toward that person and the knowledge that they have or do not have on the specific topic. And then we kind of look like the big brother that has all the information. It's like, listen, I've been working in this territory for a while. Here's what I know to be true about interiors. You guys have some competition down here, or you don't have competition down here. Here's what we're going to try to accomplish. And so when we try to spin it around and make ourselves the, I guess you would say, authority figure in that specific circumstance, then whenever they're faced with an issue regarding an interior, I'm just going to call my fabricab rep because, you know, I don't know anything about this. I'm going to get them on the horn. So we kind of gear a lot of what we do toward that model when you're talking about in the field training. As far as our staff is concerned, I am a big believer in trying to get people to understand who we are as a company and what their role can add and what value it adds to the larger group. Because I think if you get people to feel something, then they're much more apt to apply themselves. You know, it's that old saying, nothing is stronger than the heart of a volunteer. So if you appeal to somebody's heart and their emotion and the way they feel about something, you're typically going to get a different reaction. When you're talking about training like an actual task, that's, you know, it's pretty generalized. I mean, you're just, there's different methods for training memorization for tasks, but I'm talking about training and indoctrinating people into following the larger group or believing what it is the company wants you to believe. So that's how I apply or appeal to people that I'm trying to train new to Fabricab.
Yeah. And I don't know that a lot of companies, at least that I've experienced or heard about, I don't know that a lot of companies really focus in on that. I think there are very specific companies that do that, but a lot of them are just, I'm training you to do the task. It's more focused on the memorization that you mentioned, you know, memorizing how to do these things and then reproduce it.
Sorry to interrupt you.
You're good.
This is the difference between leadership and management. And we've talked about this, I know, as a team, like, it's much easier to manage a person. Here's what I need you to do. Here's how long I need it for you to take. Go. Yeah. When you're leading a person and you're trying to appeal to that, I believe that you get a much stronger end product. Mm-hmm. But it does take a lot longer and it's harder and it's more confusing and it takes more resources. Yeah. I acknowledge all of those things. So you're right. Most companies just tend to just train them what they need to know, because this is probably going to be a turn and burn type of situation. And they just go into it with that mentality, where I go into the mentality of, I really try to vet the person appropriately first, so that when they do come, we know that, A, you're the personality type of person that fits that role.
Yep.
then we try to appeal to them, appeal to their emotion, appeal to the way they feel about the place that they're working, because you're going to get a much stronger end product. And that, I think, is why we probably have a really great retention rate at Fabicab, because we really try to get them to believe the overarching philosophy of what Fabicab stands for.
Yeah, absolutely. And you talking about that reminded me of Bobby. I know you listen to a lot of, Bobby loves in his free time watching, really it's a form of TikTok, Facebook Reels, whatever.
But it's like research.
YouTube. Yeah. It's like YouTube Reels and things like that. So yeah. I don't even know if I'm calling it the right name. I feel so out of touch with the youngsters these
days. Who's old now? You want to go back to that conversation?
That's what I feel like right now. But so Bobby does a lot of that. So Bobby, I know you've seen a lot of like Gary V as you know, yes, I know. I'm sure Josh, you've seen quite a few of them too. But Gary V talks a lot about the individual. Now, this kind of broaches into the topic of retention. But in your training, what I think a lot of people need to realize too is that in your training, you're also training for retention.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yes. You know? Yes, for sure. I want to speak on that, Z, because I want to play off.
It was such a good point. I know you want to go off.
Yeah, the actual conversation me and you had a little bit earlier, I want to let the audience know that's very interesting to me. Train the people, whether it is our customer or an employee at Fabicab or a team member, train them like they're going to be with you forever. And the reason I tell you that is we had a good story. We were talking. We had today was our monthly corporate huddle we do once a month. And we had all of our team members from all over the country that fly in. And we sat and, have a meeting. And what we were talking about is Zara happened to run into one of the customers I used to call on years ago. He had actually was in the business. He was new. I trained him like I was going to have him forever.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he left the elevator industry for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, when he reared his head back up, he's a general manager of one of the bigs. Well, what that done was he remembered that training that he got, the training that he will be a lifetime customer. And what we realized this morning and shared with our team is that because we took that extra effort and put the time in to train the individual so they can win, we end up winning in the end. And it's we both win. It's a win-win. I just wanted to mention that because that was super cool.
Yeah,
well, absolutely. And to that point, Bobby, I think Fabicab was able to see some early success because, you know, we would go into an office and a lot of times there would be, you know, a more seasoned rep that we would be selling to. And we were the new kids on the block. They didn't want to give us a chance. So a lot of times we would have to appeal to those brand new reps, those younger reps.
Yeah.
A little loud out there. Some of the younger reps. Because they were willing to give us an opportunity. Fast forward, those younger reps are now the ones taking the regional positions, the management positions. And so, you know, it was a quicker sale if we would go after the seasoned sales rep. But we early on figured out this is going to be a long play, but we need to really start appealing to the younger representative.
Yeah.
And I think that goes along with the training. And Bobby did a great job setting the team up for success in that area because they've taken us with them. As they've grown in their positions, if they've climbed the ladder in the elevator industry, they've brought along Fabicab for the ride. So I think it's because you trained them well. They learned to rely on you.
Yeah. I would say the biggest point that I kind of am taking away from the personalization and adaptability is training for retention, whether that be training an employee or for us training a customer that we have And the biggest success that I know Fabicab, from the beginning of Fabicab, our biggest success has been, key to success, is customer retention. Yeah. Once we got them in the door, they kept coming back because we added value to them. And training was a part of that value that we added. So I feel like if more people had retention at the forefront of their mindset when they're training individual, employee, customer, whatever the case may be, I'm training this person to be here for a long time. I feel like that would change and shift a lot of the type of training that happens. So yeah, wow, I liked that. I liked that route we went down on that. It was a fun road. Yeah, it was a fun road. It was a fun route. Okay. So I think we got that one. Personalization, adaptability. So next, we're going to talk about how this is a really interesting topic and how this has affected training.
I love it.
And can kind of go into the previous one that we talked about, but remote and virtual training. You know, we're in 2024. More people are working from home. There's more and more virtual training happening in general. We do a lot of in-person stuff, but also there are trainings that we do that are over Zoom. And then in terms of employee, we have a lot more remote employees than we've ever had before. And so seeing, you know, those individuals, training those individuals, you know, when they're here in the office like today versus being remote, there's just some really big differences that we've seen. And Bobby and Josh, you've gotten to see that transition and see what that has looked like, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, either one of you want to take it and talk a little bit on that.
Yeah, what I really like is I go back to our story of COVID, Josh, and I'm sure that's where your mind immediately went. You know, when COVID hit, you know, we were talking and said, what are we going to do? We can't bring everybody in the office. Everybody's sitting at home. We've got to feed the fire to keep the fire going. So it's, what do we do? Well, what do we do best? Well, we go see people and train them. Mm-hmm. Well, Josh said, why don't we start making some videos that are, I'm going to be honest, they weren't the best quality. You know, we just make it a video.
We just recorded them on our laptops and that was it. Yeah.
If you go back to 2020 and look at our YouTube channel or Facebook or whatever, I think we released two videos a week for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was all the stuff, to your point, Bobby, that we would talk to them in the office about. We just put it in video form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what I love doing is everybody is more accepting of Zoom. So what's really cool on the sales side here at Fabicab is when we have a customer that maybe can't meet or has an immediate need right then and there. We've got the technology today to go, hey, do you got signal where you're at? Yeah, I do, Bobby. Why don't you FaceTime me real quick and let's walk through it together? And literally, they FaceTime, we're looking at it. I say, hey, get me a measure on that. Tell me what this offset is. You know, and what I like is using that technology because of COVID and stuff has made the digital age, whether it is training or help in the field, you know, we are at their fingertips. Whatever you need, mm-hmm. all you got to do is hit me and hit, you know, FaceTime.
No, it definitely it forced a lot of people who may not have been on that bandwagon, the technology bandwagon. It forced them of like, okay, well, you have to at least learn a certain amount. And so therefore it's kind of benefited us because of that. It made it so that, you know, we've seen an uptick in people who are on a survey and they FaceTime us just to be able to be like, hey, I don't know what this looks like, or I don't know what this certain thing is. Can you tell me what it is and stuff like that? And even people who aren't necessarily super tech savvy, so, you know, from the field doing, you know, interacting more with technology because they had to. It was different.
You know, and one thing I want to tell the audience that is so powerful in my opinion is when you're training someone, I don't care if it's for a job within your company or a customer that you're educating them on the product. When you know you've done a good job at training is when they are feel totally comfortable picking up the phone and calling you about a question that they might perceive as a dumb question.
Yeah.
But you've, in the training process, you have let it be known, hit me anytime, anytime. There's no dumb question, you know?
I love when, Josh, I know you have something to say, but I love when, because we gotta acknowledge this, when Bobby feels like he's got something important to say, he leans in real close to the microphone.
Got something
I
to
feel
say.
Like we're doing some AMSR type of stuff here. Josh, talk to us about remote training, virtual training, what that looks like, maybe some challenges, opportunities that you've seen within that.
No, I mean, I think Bobby hit it spot on. My mind did originally go to COVID, and because we were originally thinking, how are we going to accomplish? We see better results when we're in front of our people, talking to our people, training our people. And so, yeah, getting in front of them via video, we did it really early on before it became kind of a trend that other people were doing. And then I think, you know, Bobby and his team really took to that format. And I see them on Zoom on any given day, the sales reps around here are on 2 or 3 Zoom calls, yeah. FaceTimes a day. And so we use that medium a lot. But I will say what this conversation has kind of sparked something in me to think about training in general. Is something that FabiCab has made a priority as far as training our customers. And a lot of our competition, they go and do the surveys and they do a lot of things for the customer on their behalf. And that's great. But their book of business is probably only going to grow to the capacity in which they have the resources to service those people. Ours has been a slower burn because we believed from the very beginning in training. You know, I'd rather have there be 25 Bobbies in his territory than just one Bobby. And so if you're training, it took a lot longer. It was a much longer burn, but we took the time. We worked with them and trained them slowly. And now that is evolving because those people are outselling our product almost for us because they're trained and they're knowledgeable about interiors. And so I believe what's helped speed that up too is the technology and doing those things virtual. And so, I mean, I give Bobby a hard time, but I commend him and his team on what they've done for FabiCab as far as utilizing virtual meetings, virtual training to get customers onboarded.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just I'm going to throw this out there because I know Bobby, I know this is a thing for you too. I'm going to throw it out there right now.
Oh boy.
Can I request? This is a general request to the listeners of this podcast. So it's really tough. I will say it is really tough when you're doing a Zoom session. And it's not to throw shade to anybody, but it's really tough when you're doing a design or a Zoom session with anybody on any topic and you've got your camera on and it's a sea of no sharing. And I'm just like, because for me, I'm just like, and Josh, I know you are very much like this. And Bobby, I know you're like this too. I rely so heavily on feedback because that goes back to the personalization of like, hey, if I'm looking at you and you look bored out of your gourd, I'm going to move on. I'm going to wrap that topic up. I'm only going to tell you the things that's really necessary. But if I see you like Bobby and leaning into the microphone and really into what's happening, you know, I'm going to be like, okay, you're really liking that, really get you engaged in that type of thing. And it's just a general message to the world. And yeah, I don't care. Like, I don't care if you got your pajamas on. I don't care.
No.
I don't care. I just want to see your face.
If you open with a joke and then you have to follow up by saying, Did anybody hear that? That's because I can't see you. I don't know if you if you heard me or not.
You're on mute. And yes. You're on mute.
So right. I'm like, is there anybody with me? It is the it gets in the presenter's head more than anything else. I would say is people not having their camera on.
Yeah, that's the for me. I feel like that's the biggest one of the biggest challenges. Is you know, when we get in front of people, all of us are kind of. Bobby and I specifically, kind of loud personalities, in-your-face personalities.
Yeah, that's
I
don't, generous. That's
okay, generous. Well, you yeah. can zip the lip. But like we kind of thrive on that in-person type of interaction. So at least when I have the, you know, screens up and I can see the people and I can yeah. I can be feeding off of what they're giving me and, you know, the nods or whatever that they're giving me, that's... It changes the game. Changes the game. So if anything, for the people who don't put your cameras on, it's more of like, for your sake, if you put your camera on, I will talk less about the things that bore you. Because I'll see that it bores it, you.
It allows us to serve you better if you have yeah. your camera on. That's a great way to yeah. say it. And, yeah. you know, we do that internally in our
team. That's
teams.
A polite way of saying it. Yeah. It's just more like, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
You're yeah. less of a human for not having your oh. camera on. How about that?
Okay, that's not going to be the cut
too much?
That's taken from this podcast.
Too much?
And okay, put at the
sorry.
Top of the...
Yeah. Sorry.
But yes, we do have rules within like our internal team mm-hmm. just to be able mm-hmm. to incorporate like, hey, you know, like make sure that the person speaking has some engagement and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And it's not that anybody didn't want to do it. A lot of times it was just, hey, we're used to seeing other people, you know, having their cameras off and things like that. So it's never on purpose, but which I think is really the thing most of the time. It's not that people are purposely like, you're not going to see me. It's more of just like. I have a weird background or my hair looks weird or whatever,
Zara,
you know.
Zara, tell them the truth. Zara and I were at a breakfast meeting. This was the strangest thing I have ever been in my life. We sit down with two gentlemen and they're like, hey, we're in a meeting room right now. And Zara and I are sitting across from each other eating a breakfast while they have a meeting with their cameras off. And we'll be having a conversation and all of a sudden they start talking and I'm like, they're not talking to us. Like just,
yeah. Cause it's just, it was just something that they needed to be a part of like a small sliver of. And so they didn't have their cameras on because they didn't need to. And nobody else had their cameras on. So,
but see, you're giving them a pass, but you're on everybody else for not having their
cameras
on.
No. I'm saying like, I can understand the mentality is what I'm yeah. saying, but yes. Yeah.
I mean, so yeah. I think it's not that people are just sitting there and they don't want to be seen. I think they're doing other things.
Oh, quite possibly. I mean, yeah. let's be real. I know that there's been some people, they're like making a roast in the background, you know, cooking dinner or whatever, you know, like, I know, I get it. And I'm fine with that. Let me see the roast. Let me tell you if it's cooked well, you know, I'll tell you what spices to add, you know, if you ain't sneezing, it ain't seasoned. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, gross.
I have so many things to say, but I'm gonna refrain from all of them. Okay. All right. So we talked about remote virtual training. Let's move on. Let's move on to the next thing. So interactive training. So we're in an era where everybody's got a YouTube channel, and I say this lightly as I speak into this podcast microphone. Everybody's got a podcast. So everybody has an opinion on what to do. We have all these quote unquote gurus. I very much say quote unquote because some of them are ridiculous. But we have all these experts on all these different, you know, on business training in a way that we've never had before, you know, in terms of access to that information. Before you would have to read their book or something. Now it's everywhere. With that, you know, there's a lot of ideas and a lot of methods that have come out of all of this kind of boom in information. And there's been a really big push for more interactive and engaging training. So, and like learning experience. So, how do you feel like that's influenced the way that training is delivered, and if there's pros and cons to that, you know, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I will tell you, I can tell you from all the time we've had here at Fabicab, we are just now moving to interactive training. It is very, very important, and here's why. Here's what we learn internally. You can train someone, no problem. You can even give them the document that tells them what they need to do. You know, SOP, standard operating procedure. But at the end of the day, if they can jump on and watch a movie and take a quick test on it, it helps them understand it better. And we have learned that over the years. We are in the midst. It's quite an undertaking. But to take every single job at Fabicab and put it into an interactive training, and it's quite the feat. But when Josh first came to us about it, I didn't love the idea. You know, I seen that there was a ton of work that needs to be done, just to be honest, that none of us ever feel like we have time to do. It's the truth.
But
it is very much true. The points that he had were very valid, and you know, it did cost for this software that we had to get, but the value that our team will get out of it is exponential.
It comes down to being a visual learner for me. I mean, you can sit me in a room and tell me the same thing 500 times, but until I see it and I see how it's applied and I understand it and I truly understand it, I just was not a great test taker. So you can cram it into my head all you want, but until you show me how it works, I'll remember it at that point. So to me, interactive learning experiences just absolutely crucial. I remember, Bobby, you'll remember this, our very first trade show. You know, we had only been open for a few months, and we go to Boston, we're at the NAEC, and it wasn't until I had to show, because we took a wall panel that showed how our system went together, and it wasn't until I showed 30 different people coming into the booth, you know, over and over and over again, that I was like, okay, I understand now why this is something so important to the people in the industry. You know, we thought, oh, well, we're going and we're creating this really cool product. But when they started sharing the stories of like how it affects them and how the timeliness will save on this and that, then we really started to understand it. So I'm a huge proponent of it. And anytime we can try to, you know, enact some type of interactive training. I mean, we're reworking our surveys as we speak, and we're talking about ways that we can incorporate videos or some kind of interactive training with those so that people can just have a more well-rounded understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. So, big fan. Any chance you can, try to make it interactive.
Yeah,
you'll keep more people that way.
Yeah, retaining that information. And as you were saying, as you were talking, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's something like this: of the best way to learn something is to teach it.
Yeah,
and that in terms of like your NAEC thing, like, and for all this, any sales reps that go to NAEC, which is for clarification, it's a convention for elevators.
National Association of Elevator Contractors.
There it is. I forgot the A.
She's so a member in good standing, ladies and gentlemen.
Good standing. I love you guys. Shout out NAEC. But when the sales reps have to go there and they have to talk through those things, it solidifies that information because they have to teach it to others.
Yeah, that's right.
And you don't want to look like a buffoon when you're trying to teach it to others.
Yeah.
And yeah, visual learner myself. That's the only way that I'll learn. So it's a completely different game. Even here at Fabicab, when we've hired a few sales reps, and part of the training is they actually work out in the warehouse with with one of the guys there to actually see how, you know, how they, the panels are being laid out, how the brackets are put on, how all that stuff is packaged so that they have a visualization when a customer calls, they have a visualization of, I know how it was put together type of thing. And so, yes, I'm all about the interactive learning experience has. Okay. So one of the other things that we have to talk about is with training being not like it used to be, measuring the effectiveness of the training. Yeah, because a lot of times before it was just like, well, either you do your job or you don't, and that's the measure of the effectiveness. But that also could be a measure of like whether that person is suited for that job or not. You know, there's so many different factors that go into that. So in your guys' opinions, like how has being able to have better metrics, you know, with that training software and stuff like that, how is that playing into training and how is that helping? How is that maybe hindering in any way that you see in terms of that personalization? What do you guys kind of see with that?
Well, I can tell you that one training document will not work for your whole team. I can assure you of that I've learned over the years. Everybody's very different. I'm going to give you an example that really blew me away, and I'm sharing this to let all of the leaders out there that are responsible for training to really let this sink in. I was fortunate enough that when I was raised, my dad liked to work around kind of building things at the house, stuff like that. And I learned how to read a tape measure very early on in my life. I learned how to use tools very early on in my life. I understood angles, offsets, stuff like that. Well, what was crazy is I assumed everybody knew that. Literally. So we've got reps that come in that we've hired, and one of them, and I won't say the name, but because I give him a hard time still today, but one of them looked me dead in the eye and said, I've never used a screw gun a day in my life. We were putting one of our interiors in, and they said, I've never used a screw gun before. And I'm not going to lie to you. In my mind, I thought, oh boy. But it wasn't me
for the record.
it really opened my eyes, though. I really want to point this out. What's very, you know, important to me to say about this subject is it opened my eyes that not everyone had the same type of upbringing, meaning what they were exposed to growing up. And just because you make a document, I think you have to identify the person, have a basic general document. But what I've learned is I've got to tweak each one for the individual rep, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I completely, and I get that. Josh, you want to speak on that a little bit, measuring the success?
Yeah, I mean, I think what people have to be prepared for when you're talking about measuring the success of training is to hear feedback that you may not want to hear, right? So when, as a leader, I believe if you're not seeing the results that you want, you always have to look at yourself first and be like, okay, what did I not explain well enough? What resources did I not provide them? What expectations did I not outline appropriately? And so a lot of times, and Bobby speaking to the software that we just invested in to help us with training here at Fabicab, it's because we got feedback that people were like, I don't know. I know how to do my task, but I don't know how that, you know, may benefit someone down the assembly line or whatever. And we thought we've got to fix this. And so we received feedback that we didn't necessarily like, and we realized, hey, we've got to go out and adjust and make some corrections. So I would say if you're trying to measure training effectiveness, be ready to receive feedback that you may not want to hear, but use it for the positive.
Yeah. And I feel like having an open, open space for people to be able to share feedback in general would allow for makes it less so that when they have the opportunity, if they feel like they only have one opportunity to share, they're just going to share the negative of like, here's all the stuff that I want to see changed or whatever. But if they feel like there's more of an openness to feedback, then, you know, they're more likely going to share positives along the way too. And so I think, yeah, part of it is, yeah, exactly what you said, getting feedback from once this software really takes off and everything, getting feedback from the people who go through the training, so asking them, how was it for you? Do you feel like it was effective? And do you feel like you really retained information, you know, getting feedback from the people actually going through it? And I don't know that a ton of people are doing that. I don't know a ton of companies are spending the time asking.
Because it's easier not to. That's why people don't do it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Way easier for sure, short-term results, not long-term results.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As an overarching question, Josh or Bobby, how do you feel like being able to measure that effectiveness, how do you feel like it helps the success of the organization as a whole?
you'll see so much positive come from measuring that type of training feedback, because you know, we're guilty of this, you know, especially me, Bobby, and Zara. The three of us have been here from the beginning of FabiCab, and so many times we take for granted that everybody knows the things that we know, because we've been around elevators and elevator interiors for almost a decade now. We're in the middle of a conversation. It's like, oh, wait. Okay. I need to explain what that term means. Yeah.
In AEC earlier, it's like, we're so used to saying it. Yeah. We had to back up and say, oh.
That's right. But you have to have created an environment where people feel safe to be like, hey, time out. Yeah. No idea what you're saying. Can you explain that to me? So yeah, I think it's it can be extremely helpful.
Yeah, and that goes to something Bobby talked about earlier, Josh, what you just said of there's a lot of those newer, younger sales folk, or even more experienced, just not experienced in the elevator interior world, that they call and they literally say, "Hey, I've got a dumb question." And it's just like, they feel safe to ask us, which is huge. That's massive. Yeah.
It's good.
Love it. Okay. Our last topic, last thing we're going to touch on is continuous learning and development. You know, as you've done the training, you've trained them to the best of your ability to get them onto the next step. And now we're talking about continued learning. I always think about teachers when I think about continued learning. They always have to. Bobby, his daughter is a teacher, so she has to deal with that. But how do you feel like that applies to organizations in general, or how it should?
If you're thinking that you can train a rep up, I'm going to use Zara as an example. Zara was our top performing sales rep last year. If I'm not continually training her still, shame on me. Because I'm not setting her up for her best success. That's kind of a good example of what I mean by how important continuous training is. Zare will let everybody know on this podcast, not everybody loves it, but every Monday morning, it doesn't matter what you've got going on or what part of the country you're in, you better be dialing in for our weekly sales meeting that's going to have a training tip every single week. We just got done going through some cardboard cab shells, literally. And what that does is, even though Zara knew what that was, maybe another one of our veteran reps hasn't ran into that yet. So what you have to do is prepare your team that you are training on a continuous basis over and over, no matter how long they've been there. Make sure to remind them that there is going to be some things that you're going to hear more than once. I tell everybody it's going to make you an expert at it, but I promise you, I guarantee you, even, you know, Zara, Mandy, a lot of our veteran senior sales reps, still, I guarantee you once or twice a month in that meeting, here's something that they didn't know, because we like to highlight abnormal things, and it's very healthy to keep that. Zara could come. You got to have a good attitude too when training comes into effect, meaning that Zara can't come and show up to the sales meeting, think she knows everything, because she's not going to grow anymore. And it's the truth. And Zara, you do a good job of always desiring training, you know, on and on, you know. And what I'm a big fan of, and I encourage my team, when you're out in the field, pick them mechanics' brains. Why does that? Why is that like that? Why do you guys do that like that? Why do you want to put it on this way? You know, and it just, it goes all around. So not just our team here, but if you start ingraining that early on to your team members about training in general and continuous training, their mind will get programmed. That's what they're expecting it every week. So if you can't tell, I get really jacked on that. I mean, I love that.
And training them to have, as individuals as well, to have a curious mind so that they are looking for things like that. And speaking of which, Josh, I want you to, because I get to see you personally do kind of continuing education for yourself. In terms of like reading, and Bobby does this too, but you know, reading books and being a part of groups to further your education so that you can be a better trainer, and leader as a whole. What does that, how do you feel like that benefits you, that continued learning, Josh?
Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm just to your point, a big proponent of, you know, lifelong learning. I mean, things evolve, things change. Like, we just had our, like Bobby said, our monthly meeting with our whole team today. And part of the topic was talking about how Fabicab is not the same company that it was several years ago. And so you have to continuously learn new things. I've never led a company the size of Fabicab before, you know, so I don't pretend to have it all figured out. I'm learning, and I go and research, and I encounter a problem, and I go and consult people that I trust that may have been through a similar thing. And so I think you have to just have this hunger for continuous learning and pursue it and do it intentionally. And you can't just let yourself kick it into neutral and coast. It's just not going to work out for you. So I'd say get out there and try to learn as much as you can, whenever you can.
And for the viewers out there, when I say read, so I say that lightly. He's an audiobook guy. Yeah, he listens. Nope. I don't think I've ever seen Josh with a physical book in his hand.
No, you won't. You won't. Not interesting. I'll fall asleep.
He will. He will. But a lot of audiobooks, which is fantastic. Okay. Well, guys, I say, like, we covered a lot today in the training ain't what it used to be topic world. I feel like there's some really good bits in there for sure. And one of the ones for me that I take away the most from is the personalization and adaptability. Cause I feel like so many of the topics that we talked about in general kept coming back to that, you know, making sure that it's person centered. Cause that's the way it's going to be effective, you know, knowing if they're a visual learner, if they need more tests to be able to learn better, you know, all that stuff, you know. Yeah. So I really appreciate you guys sharing some of your insights on what you've seen in training. And guys, I appreciate you all tuning in for this week's podcast. And we hope that you come back next week for a whole other topic. It's going to be a doozy. I'm excited for it. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Going Up. And we will catch you next time. Bye, guys.
See ya.
That concludes another fabulous ride on the Going Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed the elevator tales, expert insights, and the unique camaraderie that makes our show a standout in the podcast world. If you've got your own elevator stories to share or questions about the vertical world, don't hesitate to reach out to us at podcast@fabicab.com. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, keep reaching for new heights, stay uplifted, and remember, when life takes you down, there's always an elevator to bring you back up. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next floor.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.